Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If I ask you the question, what's with you? What would you think? Really, it's not a great question because it's not clear what I'm asking. You might be asking, what do you have with you? In which case, you might do a quick mental inventory of your pockets or your purse, and you'd think, well, I've got my wallet, my phone, my keys, maybe a Bible. Oh, you've got a bulletin? I might be asking, what's going on with you? In which case, you might think of your calendar. You might answer that you're busy at work, getting ready for the year end. You might think, I'm busy at home, getting ready for visits from family. You might think of your health and an upcoming doctor's appointment, or the cold that I'm working on getting over. This what's with you question might also come with an accusing tone. What's with you? Like, what's with that guy? Why is he acting like that? Hey, what's up with you, buddy? Now we're getting into a little bit more dangerous territory. We've left simple curiosity behind, and we're heading into judginess. If I'm on the receiving end of that kind of question, the right thing for me to do is to reflect on myself for a moment, ask myself, have I been short with someone, or rude, or impatient? Is this an opportunity for me to improve my behavior? But all too often, it's easier to go on the attack. I've got no problem, you've got a problem. We've all been there, right? We get defensive. We fight back. We try to justify ourselves. After all, I'm a good person, aren't I? And what's the big idea of bringing this up on Christmas Eve when we should all be merry and of good cheer? But the truth of the matter is, there is something with us. It's not something we can explain away by being tired or being stressed out. There is a problem lurking in each of our hearts. That problem is sin. It's deeper than being short with our loved ones or impatient with strangers. It's not just our actions. We're born with it, inherited it from Adam ever since he ate the forbidden fruit. King David puts this quite bluntly. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. He's not being dramatic or exaggerating here. He's just admitting that he's been sinful his whole life, that his whole life has been stained by selfishness, not fully loving God or his neighbor, and wanting to be his own God. That's just the human condition. That's what's with each and every one of us, and we can't fix it. Oh, we can act better. We can be a little nicer. We can give a little more. We can go to church. We can spread the Christmas cheer. But that's just wallpapering over the rot, dressing up a corrupted heart. We can stuff our pockets and purses with good intentions, busy schedules, and even Bibles. But none of those things can take away the stain of sin from our souls. Left to our own devices, that stain is what's going to be with us forever. God is holy. He does not tolerate sin in his presence. So as long as that sin is part of us, we stand condemned. Condemned to death, despair, and separation from God, who created us and wants to be with us. So if God were to ask us tonight, what's with you? The honest answer would be, Lord, sin is with me. Guilt is with me. Shame. Death. And I can't change it. But the story doesn't end there. It's time for a Christmas miracle. God does not leave us to answer that question for ourselves. He answers it for us. Okay, let me set the scene. Joseph is dismayed to learn that Mary is already pregnant while they are betrothed. He's thinking he should do the right thing, which in his mind is to break things off quietly to avoid, minimize the repercussions on Mary and her family. And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Doesn't that sound like just what we need? And then Matthew goes on, like a beam of light cutting through the darkness, he gives us this explanation. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Did you hear that? The answer that God gives us for what's with you is himself, Emmanuel, God with us. Is sin with us? Nope. He's going to take that away in our baptism. Guilt and shame with us? Nope. He's going to take our guilt to the cross and die the most shameful death in our place. Death with us? Nope. He's going to rise again, defeating death once and for all time. And he's not going to do this from afar off. He's not going to stand in heaven and order his angels to do this. He's not going to give us a self-help book or some new set of rules for how to fix ourselves. He's going to come to us through a humble woman in a humble town as a baby who will grow up to live the perfect life that we could not, die the death that we deserved, and rise again so that we might rise again. That name, Emmanuel, God with us, is the Christmas miracle that we needed. It changes everything. It means that God is not against us, he is with us. He is not a little God in our pockets or purses that can't do anything. He created the heavens and the earth and all that they contain. Yet, he came into the world to save us from sin, to save us from ourselves. And he is with us here tonight. The reading I used was from the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. But what's the last sentence in Matthew's Gospel? "And behold," Jesus says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all hearts, all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.